Thank God for the intercessory work of Jesus Christ tonight. I'm glad. Thank you for that beautiful song. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we'll be reading verses 35 through 40. And I, in keeping with singles night and the singles emphasis, I want to preach tonight on reasons for remaining single. Reasons for remaining single that the Bible gives us. Don't get any ideas, you folks that are already married, some of those things. I'll explain as we go along. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning with verse 35. And let me just preface all of this by saying I hope you know that I am for marriage, and I've been married 51 years. And I hope you realize that that is our position. But God does call some people into singleness, a calling. And God gives the gift of singleness to some people. And Paul is saying marriage is normal. And Christ said in Matthew 19 that the bond of marriage is a strong bond. And he, of course, endorsed marriage and the family. But there are some other things the Bible has to say about remaining single. And we don't feel like that anybody who is single should be treated as a second-rate member of any Bible-believing church. And sometimes we have a tendency to do that. Now, in these verses, verse 35, Paul said, "This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, and let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will only in the Lord," has to marry another Christian. "But she is happier if she so abide," that is unmarried, "after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God," the Apostle Paul speaking. Anybody that happens to be single is not abnormal. Some people are single because of divorce. Some people just haven't ever been married and they are still single. Sometimes we think if the girls are not married by the time they're 19 to 20, somewhere along that way, mamas and daddies begin to panic and think, will they ever get married? But you don't need to panic at such an early age. And some think when the guys are like 23, 24, and 25, if they haven't gotten married, then something's wrong with them. They're abnormal, and they ought to be getting married. And sometimes, parents, listen, sometimes mothers and daddies push their children into marriage when really it is not the thing that God happens to want for them at that time. And I think parents need to understand that remaining unmarried and single for a while and maybe for a whole lifetime is okay with God. And being single is good according to the Word of God. It is good. And yet, there were some things, and remember that Paul is writing, answering some questions. They had written to him, and now he's answering their questions about a lot of different things. If I'm a slave, do I remain a slave right now? Or do I perform some kind of insurrection and try to do some social changing? That's not, by the way, the main thing Christians are supposed to be doing. We have a higher calling and greater things to do. Now, it will impact society, but that's not... Our high calling is not to cause insurrection or to try to overthrow them in the Roman government or us to overthrow our government. We are to live within the confines of those things and serve God and wait for God to change them. But we're not supposed to be the ones who are instituting and instigating a rebellion against the government. The Bible is very clear, I think, about that. Here's what was going on in that church. Some of them were saying this. Here were some Jews that got saved. And after they got saved, they were saying to those who were getting saved, you're not married, but if you're going to be a good Christian, and really to complete your salvation, you must get married. You cannot be spiritual unless you get married. And then there were some others saying, no, absolutely not. If you get saved, then the best thing for you is don't ever get married. Then you can really serve God and be more spiritual than those that are married, which, of course, is not true. It has nothing to do, the marriage situation has nothing to do with your salvation or the depth of your spirituality. Some single people are very carnal. Some married people are very spiritual, and vice versa. Some married people are very carnal, and some single people are very spiritual. It has nothing to do with your salvation or your spirituality. Now, he talks about, in verse 25, let's see what Paul is saying when he says, now concerning virgins, he's just talking about those who have not yet entered into marriage, and I have no commandment of the Lord. Now, what he's saying, he's not saying, this is just my opinion. Don't get the idea that Paul is saying here, and I'm just giving you my opinion, and it really doesn't count. What he is saying here, as you follow these verses, I'm not quoting Jesus here. There's some things already on record, and when he quoted Christ, he said, I'm quoting Christ. But then when he was saying what he was saying, listen, under the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit, this is still inspired. This is the inspired Word of God. So don't think Paul is being casual or that he's not really speaking in the leadership and with the control of the Holy Spirit. He's not doing that at all. He's simply saying, I cannot quote Christ here, but I'm telling you this is what the Holy Spirit is leading me to say to you. And so when he's saying, in my judgment, that's all he means. He doesn't mean that what he's saying is uninspired. And sometimes this is a guideline, but he's saying this is what God has said. And so the absolute must be what God says. And the absolute does not mean that you have to be single. And the absolute does not mean that you have to be married. And that's simply all Paul was trying to point out in saying to these people that are here. So he's giving some basic general guidelines under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying that these things, because God has said it was that way, are general guidelines, some things to go by as you consider the whole situation. And Paul was simply saying every situation is a little different. And God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said to Paul, you can look at these situations and give them this truth about it, and whatever they decide as the Spirit of God leads them based on this, then that's all right. There's nothing so bulldogmatic about everything that had to do with marriage or singleness during that particular time. Now in verse 26, he says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good. And when he says, I suppose, again, he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And actually, in the Greek, the word really means I hold. That's what he's saying. I hold to this truth. Not I suppose, or maybe this is right, or maybe it's not right, but I hold to the truth. I suppose, based on the Holy Spirit, I hold to the truth that these things are right. And so what is he saying? He said, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. He was one that God had chosen to be a spokesperson, and God had chosen him to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is good, he is saying, in some of the context we'll see, it is good to be unmarried. It's good to be single. In certain situations, he's talking about the goodness of being single. And then he's talking about the fact that in the local church, these people should have identification as members welcome in the body of Christ, and that they should serve God on an equal basis as those that are married. Now, there are some offices that would change that, the deacon and the pastor, but otherwise it should be that way as far as an equal basis. Now, let me give you the reasons God gives as to why it is good to remain single. First of all, verse 26 talks about the pressure of the system. The pressure of the system. Look at it. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. He talked about the woman, then he talked about the man, and he said, I say that it's probably good because of the distress. Now remember, there was a lot of violence going on. And remember that it was being amplified. Remember that the Roman government was hating Christians. And they were really doing some things contrary to what should have been done to Christians. And so he's talking about, given all of this and the battle that is going on and the distress and the persecution that is already going on, and especially within that system. Now look at the Apostle Paul. If Paul were a person that were married, and Paul had all of those beatings, he was always gone, Paul was in jail, Paul was stoned, all the different things that took place in his life, look how hard it would have been for Paul to have done what Paul did to serve the Lord. And he's saying, given all these circumstances, it's better to stay single. And Paul was just doing it, as he said, it complicates things. He's not saying it's wrong. He's simply making the statement, it complicates things if you're married during these very difficult and hard times. And how did Paul know things are going to get worse? Jesus had already told him that. And he is saying, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Just wait. They're really going to hate you. And then along comes somebody by the name of Nero. Nero had a lot of fun at dipping those people's clothes in wax, putting it on them, and then putting them on posts, and then burning them to death as a candle along the roadsides. And he would take an animal, and they'd kill the animal, then they'd cut the animal open, and then they would put a Christian inside that and sew that back up and throw it out in the arena so that the dogs or the animals would tear them limb to limb and tear them all to pieces. Paul is simply saying, in this situation, knowing what is here, knowing what is coming, it is probably better if you're single to stay single if that is the case. Now, you have to read all around these verses and know that Paul is saying you need the gift of celibacy. In other words, you need to be able to live single without having problems with lust, without violating the principles of the Word of God. Not everybody could do that. He said, don't let it burn in your bosom. If that's the way you want to live, then if you are celibate in your mind, you're thinking, and you have that in control, then that's a good thing. If not, probably you ought to go ahead and get married. That's what he's saying to them in this situation. If you have the gift, stay single. Now in verse 27, he's saying, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. If you're already married, don't divorce. And again, they were saying you need to divorce your wife and be single because you can be more spiritual. And of course, that was wrong. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. That's all right. If you're married, stay married. If you're not married, it's all right. If you don't, get married, is simply what he's saying. And so we look at the future, and we're nearing, getting closer and closer to the end times. I believe that. And things are going to get worse and worse. And the same application might apply right now as far as reasons for not getting married, because we know what's going to take place and what's going to happen. Now, Paul is saying here, don't you divorce. Now, so that is part of the problem, and he's pointing it out, the pressure of the system, what's going on, and all of the problems that come with it. And then secondly, the problems of the flesh. Look at verse 28. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. I'd allow you to go ahead and do it. It'd be all right to get married. What is he saying there? He's simply saying, and some of you will misunderstand this, I hope you won't, he's saying marriage is not wrong, but he's saying when you get married, you're going to have some trouble. You are going to have some troubles when you get married. I promise you that. Because you have the flesh that is there. And trouble occurs in marriage because of the flesh. What happens? You have two sinners coming together. You see, my wife is a very depraved woman. She is a sinner. And I'm a very depraved man. Of all things, I'm the pastor of the church. But I'm a depraved man. I'm a sinner. We are two sinners saved by the grace of God. But when you come into a marriage relationship, you're going to have problems because you're sinners, and then there are going to be some little sinners born to you. And then you're going to have some more problems because of those little sinners. Everybody's a sinner. We're all sinners. And so he's just making the point. Because of that, he's saying, one thing you want to do, go ahead and get married. And that is, understand, it's going to be difficult. Not only because of society of that day, but simply, you've got to work on having a good marriage. And I want to tell you, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care who you are. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit of God to make the marriage what it really ought to be. You ever heard words like this? Anger? These ring a bell? Selfishness? Things like stupidity? You did what? Why in God's name did you do that? No, you husbands have never said that to your wives, or your wives to your husband. Maybe something near that, but it's because we're sinners. And those things happen. Somebody said the only thing worse than waiting is to wish you had. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I wish I had. But at any rate, we have to be careful with that. Now, he's talking about lust, and he's talking about loneliness. Some people get married just to prevent lust. Let me tell you something. If you get married just for that reason, they're the same guys who have problems with pornography and filth and lust before they got married. They're going to have problems with it after they get married. Unless they get their heart right with God. Just because you get married is not going to solve your problem of lust. That is a relationship you have with Jesus Christ, and you have to get that right in your heart, and then you can move on. Loneliness. A lot of people marry because they're lonely, and then they make everybody around them lonely also. Those are not legitimate reasons. There are many others that could be mentioned. But they are the problems of the flesh. And he's just simply saying, because they're the problems of the flesh, sinners coming together, they're going to have problems with marriage, there's going to be challenges. That doesn't mean it's bad. That doesn't mean that it's impossible. It just means that's a fact. There are going to be those times that you have those disagreements. And then verse 29, he says the third reason is the passing of the world. The passing of the world. Look at it in verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. It remaineth that those who have wives be as those who have none. What he's saying is, it is a very short period in life that we have this relationship. And that relationship is going to come to an end because ultimately of the passing of the world. Let me tell you, in heaven, people say, well, will I be married to my same wife in heaven? The answer is no, you won't be. And young couples come up and they say they just got married. Well, if something happened to us and we were in heaven, would we still be husband and wife in heaven? And you say, no, that's not what the Scriptures teach. And that is not what the Scriptures teach. Therefore, they are disappointed. And then there are others who say, praise God, the rapture is going to come and I can get out of this thing, you know. But you have both situations. But you have... It is a passing thing. And in heaven, we're not going to be married. Heaven's going to be so much more wonderful than anything we could imagine down here that we can't imagine it not being that way. But let me tell you, it'll be wonderful. Will you know your wife in heaven? Will you know your loved ones in heaven? Absolutely. We will know even as we are known. But the relationship will be different. We'll be in glorified bodies eventually, and that's going to be a different relationship. So he's talking about these changes that are going to come. It is a passing system. So continue to look at it in verse 29. And he's talking about the temporary part of it. Marriage at its best is temporary. It's very temporary. And so he says, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, verse 29, brethren, the time is short. Remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. That's going to change. They that have wives are going to be as those that have none. Verse 30, and they that weep, what is that? Something temporary. They that weep, as though they wept not. We won't weep in heaven. There's not going to be any crying up there. Revelation tells us, 21, we're not going to weep, we're not going to cry there in heaven. There may be some tears of regret or something of that nature, but no weeping as we would think of it in the regular sense, and that probably would be relegated only to the judgment seat of Christ. And that is debatable to some degree. But they that weep as though they wept not, temporary. They that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Weeping is temporary. And don't get too caught up in this world and rejoicing. That's temporary too. And so you just inherited $100,000 from a relative. And you're rejoicing. Don't get too caught up in it. Because it's a temporary thing. You're going to leave every bit of it. Every last bit of it. How'd you like to have owned that $700,000, $800,000 house that fell in Lake Whitney the other day? Or burned. Part of it was falling in. And he says, so this is temporary. That's what he's talking about. Marriage is temporary. And though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Wow. All that you get and all that we emphasize and all that we work for and all that we buy and all that we purchase, and some of those things are all right in the right place, but it's all temporary. That's what he's saying. Marriage is temporary. These things are temporary. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world does what? Passeth away. It's going to pass away. So it's a very temporary relationship. He's saying if you're single, that's okay. And you might be able to give even much more time to the glory of God, but don't get wrapped up in the temporary things. Don't let that be the controlling thing in your life. And he's talking about the fact that since it is so temporary, we as God's children should look at it that way and should see it that way. I know some people, and I'm not putting anybody down. I haven't been through this, but I've been through it with a lot of people in 46 years. But I've seen people lose their mate, and they just go right on. They have a legitimate time of grief, and then some times come up along the way, and that's okay. God doesn't knock that. God doesn't say that's wrong. But I've seen people who quit on God. They lay down and they want to die. They get depressed and they stay depressed because they lost a mate. My friend, it was temporary to begin with. God's already told us it's a temporary relationship. And so if you lose your mate, there's some grieving, but don't let it take you out of God's work. Don't let it get you so down that you can't continue to serve God and do something for God. I've seen both kinds. And I want to tell you, the kind that really just say, that's God's will, I accept it as God's will, and they grieve and they go on about God's business because they understand that was just a temporary relationship. That's not a put down to marriage, but it's just saying recognize that. And that's what he was saying to these singles. It's a temporary relationship anyway. And the fourth reason is preoccupation of the married people. The preoccupation that they have. Let's go over to verse 32. We're going over to that where he says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. He's not saying that's wrong. He's saying that that's just a fact. That's just a reality and just a fact because we know that has an impact upon us. He that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. He's simply saying there's a difference in emphasis. So if you're single, stay single. If God gives you celibacy, the ability to be celibate and to stay single, stay single. If somebody divorces you and you can stay single after that, stay single. If you lose your husband or your wife and you can stay single after that and put all of your energy and all of your thrust into serving God, then why not do it? That's a good thing to do. I know some people that I've been acquainted with that are single, and they say, I can remain single. I'm not interested in being married. And God has given them the gift of making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And what they do with it is put it in the missions work and to put it in God's work and to help people out in those things. And they feel very strongly about the fact that God said, you remain single and you use those things for my glory. Now, he's simply saying here that when you're married, there's a division. There are certain things you've got to take care of because you're married that if you weren't married, you wouldn't have to take care of, like insurance, taking care of the car, making sure the house is okay, making sure the kids get their education, paying for that, being sure they're clothed, taking them to the doctor, paying the doctor bill, on and on, ad infinitum. You can just continue. There's some real responsibilities in that, and we're supposed to take care of those responsibilities. You have no right to shirk those responsibilities as a husband just because you want to make the impression that you're more spiritual, or a wife has no right to shirk her responsibilities just to give the presence of the fact that she is more spiritual than others. God said that's not what determines our spirituality. That isn't it at all. I've had the unfortunate occasion of knowing some pastors whose wives were not 100% behind them. I know some now that are very well known where their wife walked out on them, just walked out on them. They didn't want to have anything to do with the ministry. I thank God my wife has always been 100% behind me in the ministry and behind what she believes God would lead us to do and what I believe God would lead us to do as we serve God together. And I thank God for that. I feel sorry for anybody that would be otherwise, and I feel sorry for lay people who may have a husband. Somebody has a husband that's as carnal as a junkyard dog, and maybe a wife that's as carnal like that, and it makes it hard on them to serve God. It really isn't easy for them to serve God, but they've just got to go ahead and serve God anyway. But being single does not make you more spiritual than anyone else, or being married doesn't make you more spiritual than being single. And the idea that some woman is more spiritual because she doesn't get married in the Roman church is not in the Word of God. It's just not there. And there's nothing there about that. So, here's another reason. We'll finish up with this one, and that's the last one. The permanence of the union. The permanence of the union. Look in verse 39. You want to get married? All right. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. That's pretty permanent, isn't it? Until he dies, and vice versa. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. And by the way, God doesn't set a time limit on it. I think it's only natural that some people would wait a little while and not be criticized for it. But God says if your mate is dead, you have the right to remarry. If you marry, if you're a Christian and you marry somebody that is a Christian. If her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. And he's saying you're bound by the law to stay married. So if you're going to get married, then you go into it not to say, hey, this is a trial. We're going to see how this works. If it works, we'll stay married. If it doesn't work too good, we're going to, you know, it's a trial run and we're just going to divorce. And that's all right. Society accepts that now and all that. No, no, no. That's not what God says. God says when you get married, you become one, and only death should separate you. And anything else you let separate you is contrary to the Word of God. And so somebody usually is the one who determines and makes a decision that they're going to file for divorce or sue for divorce or whatever. And they're the ones usually that will wind up with God's chastening hand on them. Those things should be able to be worked out. Matthew 19 is a different story for a different time, but that might be the exceptive clause And many think it is, some think it isn't. But it's a permanent union. God says you're supposed to be married and stay in that relationship until death parts you. Now, keep in mind back there, they had arranged marriages. How would you young girls in this church, you young ladies, like it if your daddy was the only one that could pick out somebody for you to marry? You'd say, oh my goodness, that's scary. And it probably would be scary. Now, I think they ought to have some input, amen? And you ought to consult them. If they see a red flag, you ought to see the red flag too. If they see something wrong with it, I wouldn't just dismiss it. But that doesn't mean they're going to pick your mate for life, but you ought to respect what they're saying. But here's what was happening to them back in this relationship. In verse 36 of the same chapter, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and he's talking about a father here, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry in that relationship. Go ahead and put your approval on it. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, he doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage does well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. It's determined by what they want to do. A lot of times the guy has a lot of the say in it as they talk to the men, and you can find illustrations of that in 1 Samuel. You can find the principle in the book of Proverbs where they are consulted and they have something to do with it, and it indicates a relationship over a little period of time so they could know that it's the right person. But here's the thing. God wants some people married, but there are some people God does not want married. And if you're one of those people, and by the way, don't rush it. If you wait till you're 50 or 60 or whatever, if that's God's timing for you to get married, it's right. And God has a plan for you, and don't feel like a second-rate citizen because you hadn't gotten married yet. Don't feel like a second-rate citizen because you're single for whatever the reason. God wants some people to be married, and God wants some people to be single. You have to make up your own mind. That's what Paul was saying. There's no ironclad rule. But speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, if you remain single, you're all right. And nobody has a right to put you down. I know that some people think that just because some people don't get married, something's wrong with them. Or that they're not spiritual or whatever. That's a wrong attitude. We should love and incorporate in every way the singles in our local New Testament church according to the Word of God. And so God wants some married and some single. And I remind you, that does not determine your spirituality. Your spirituality is determined by two things. Number one, are you saved? And number two, are you walking with God? Married or single, we ought to be right with God. Amen? Our hearts ought to be right with God. And just because you're married doesn't mean your heart's right with God. And just because you're single does not mean your heart is right with God. Your heart must be right with God. That's what God is looking for, and we need to be aware of that. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. If you're here without Christ, we invite you to come tonight and be saved. If you've been struggling with this thing, well, I'm single and the Lord hadn't given me a mate, just come and thank Him for it. And come and tell Him you're willing to wait upon Him and His timing and His will, whatever it may be. And don't think that you're less spiritual or more spiritual because you're not married or vice versa. How are we walking with God? What's in the heart? That's what determines whether we're spiritual or not before Almighty God. Father, bless now the Word of God, Your very Word that is given to us. And I pray for our singles. We thank You that so many of them are involved in ministry. And I pray that more of them would be involved in ministry, surrender their lives to You and serve You. And may You bless them and meet their needs and help them with their struggles. God, we know You have a plan, and may they wait upon Your timing If it is your plan for them to get married, give them the grace to wait for the right person, the right Christian woman, the right Christian man who loves you, and to not feel left out. I pray you would bless now. Lord, just help us to search our hearts, married or unmarried, to know that we're walking with you. And God, help us to have good marriages, good homes, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.